Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Genesis. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. Now here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of the Book of Beginnings, the Book of Genesis. We have seen the visit from Jesus Christ pre-incarnate and two angels visiting Abraham. We see the fact that they were given hospitality by Abraham. They were fed by him. They were given a place to rest. Jesus Christ told Abraham that he would return unto him according to the time of life there would be a child, so in 9 months be coming back. And Abraham, of course, and Sarah both were very, very old. Abraham was about 100 and Sarah was 90. And Sarah laughed within herself, Scripture says, and this Christophany, the appearance of the Lord, responded and said that Sarah had laughed, and of course Sarah said she hadn't, but they ignored that and went on their way. And that's where we are at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Being the good host that Abraham was, he was walking with them, just as you would walk someone to the door of your house, or you might even walk all the way out to their vehicle if they have a vehicle parked in your driveway, so you could see them on their way. Or maybe if they were walking, you would walk a ways with them in the lane or on the sidewalk just until they got on their way that they were going. That's what Abraham was doing here. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Here God, Jesus Christ, gives forth a testimony of his faith in Abraham. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It's interesting that Abraham is showing why he's called a friend of God. He is reasoning with God. He is not usurping the power of God or the very authority of God, but he is conversing with God, and he is giving forth a reason why all should not be destroyed, possibly. And here he is showing why he's called the friend of God. Also, he assumes to know that this is God himself. In verse 25, where he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There is no other judge of all the earth except God himself. And so Abraham is showing that he understands that he's speaking to God. Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. So all it was going to take then was 50 righteous people within the environs of the city. Verse 27, And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I'm just nothing but a poor man here, he says. I'm just dust and ashes. But I'm speaking to Almighty God. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again, yet again, and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. If there were 10, God himself says, I will not destroy Sodom. If there are 10 righteous, there were not 10 righteous. We'll see that in just a little bit. And Sodom was destroyed. 10 righteous out of a town of thousands, and there weren't 10. Ultimately, we see Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters being taken out of the city. There were 4 that by some stretch could be considered righteous. Obviously, Lot was considered righteous. He's written up as being such throughout Scripture. But he had fallen into the ways of Sodom. And so we see this friend of God named Abraham. He was given a high privilege of learning about how God would deal with nations. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, verse 20. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down, said God. It's God's justice that moved him to demonstrate that he had full possession of the facts. He didn't have to go look. He knew. He was God. He is omniscient. And yet, he looked. There would be no error. There could be no error, of course, with God, but there will be no error as man sees it. He would have complete understanding of what was going on. Now we know that the 2 angels went on to Sodom, and the Lord, that is the angel of the Lord in this case, stayed with Abraham. And we got all the way down from 50 righteous to just 10, but that didn't work. Backslidden Lot is the only one that's written up in Scripture as having been or being just or righteous. The wife, of course, was turned to a pillar of salt for disobeying. The 2 daughters were incestuous and evil in their very intents of their heart. And so there is nothing to be said of them being righteous. And so at the best we can find, there was 1 just man there. And that was not enough to save the ungodly and quite often spoken of as unfortunate, but yet they received what they were supposed to. A fortune is something that you're given, and so they were given what they were to receive, which is judgment, because they needed the judgment to be given to them. They didn't even have 10 righteous people within the confines of the entire city. Let's look at chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them, as it is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now we're down through verse 13, and I want to stop there for just a moment. In verse 14 and verse 15, we're going to see the results of sitting in the gate, the results of being a part of a woefully evil system. You see, even if you're righteous and you hang with those who are evil, those who are unrighteous, then you yourself will have no authority. No one will look to you for any advice or wisdom, because you're so stupid as to have been hanging out with the sinners. We don't make friends of sinners and then retain our character. Let's see how the Bible puts it there in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now do you see what happened? He lost any authority that he might have had because he was with the evil ones. He sat in the gate. He lost any authority, any respect that he should have had. It's very sad. Notice, he had two daughters that were virgins, apparently. He had a wife. He had some daughters that had husbands. How many daughters? I don't know. There are those scholars who would say that there were 10 in Lot's family, that there were he and his wife and his two unmarried daughters, and then a married daughter and son-in-law, and a married daughter and son-in-law, and a married daughter and son-in-law, making 10. That's conjecture. It might be somewhat sanctified conjecture, but it's conjecture nonetheless. And we know that his sons-in-law said, We're not going to listen to you. You have nothing for me to follow. And so they and their wives stayed, and of course they were punished by destruction. Now, Lot, apparently, according to this scripture, was a leader in the city. He was possibly a judge in the city. Lot knew what would happen to these men if they stayed outside. He knew how wicked the culture was, and they would be raped, ravaged. They would have various malicious things done to them if they were not with him under his protection. Now, it's interesting that Lot could provide them protection. The presence of Scripture here shows us that these ungodly men, these evil Sodomites, wished to have sexual relations with the angels. The word is know, K-N-O-W, the one that's used here. And according to Genesis 4:1, knowing is carnal or sexual knowledge, and in this spot, referring to homosexuality. There are unspeakable possibilities of human depravity. We read of it in the newspaper on a daily basis. Here in Scripture, it is given to us denouncing homosexuality as a sin. We have that denunciation of homosexuality as a sin, not only here in Genesis chapter 19, but also in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 30, and chapter 20, verse 13, in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Later on, when the law of God was given, homosexuality would become a capital offense. It was grouped with incest and bestiality, and it would mean that there would be a death penalty for those who participated in such heinous activity. Now, notice the evil nature that had even come upon Lot, this just man. He was willing to do evil to try to protect these angels. He was willing to offer his daughters to these sexual deviants. It was to be an alternative. And here is someone who is supposedly just and righteous, sinking to such evil. He was willing to provide, what is it called, the lesser of two evils? Is it truly the lesser of two evils to do such a thing to your own daughters? Well, we do know that his activities, his actions, his whereabouts, his way of doing business was such that when the sons-in-law, in verse 14, were given the warning that they just mocked him. They saw no reason to believe him. His testimony had degenerated to the point where even his family could not believe that he was serious in what he was saying. It is of ultimate importance, my friend, for us as followers of Jesus Christ to keep our testimony intact. How do we do that? We do it by living a life before our family, before the world at large. We live a life that is true to God, that is true to God's Word, that is true to the belief system to which we say we adhere. It's important for us to keep our testimony pure so that when people look at us, look at our families, look at what is going on in our lives, that they know that we are following Jesus Christ. That's why it's important to always tell the truth. It's why it's important to always be honest in our dealings and in our affairs. Why we must follow the Word of God as we live our lives every day. If we're following something else, our own ideas, old wives' fables, somebody's description of how we ought to live, we will fail, we will falter, we will fall. We must, to keep our testimony intact, to keep our character intact, to keep our reputation intact, we must adhere to the Word of God and follow Jesus Christ as closely as is possible with the influence and power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.